Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you'll need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
What's the easiest choice you can make? Window instead of middle seat? Picking a vendor who sends a great gift basket? Outsourcing business tasks you hate? What about selling with Shopify? Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage? Shopify's there to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell. Wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/try. Go to shopify.com/try now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/try.
Hello, and thank you so much for joining us for your ROH post show and your TNA post show for March 28th. And boy, oh boy, I think TNA might have won this one. I don't know. This was a rough episode considering we are a week before a pay-per-view. Very frustrating to see some old habits not dying hard, but rather creeping their way back in as we head towards Supercard. But I am joined by Reg to help me through this one. I was cranky when I signed on. And he said, Kate, we're going to get through this. You and me, we're going to do it together. Reg, how you doing?
I'm doing very well, Kate. We are very close to WrestleMania weekend. My life just consists of Philly things. And Ring of Honor, they don't know that, I think. I don't think they know that next week they have a really big show, Supercard of Honor. A pretty good card they got going here, but building to this, they just forgot how to do it. Frustrating is a word that we use to describe coming into this, Kate, because we've talked for many weeks on this pod. We were excited for a while. There were developments, there were things going on, and then our champions got lost and things got lost in the shuffle. We had a really good women's tournament. I enjoyed it. Got a lot of great matches, a lot of great story development. And then today.
See, what happened was you left for 3 weeks and they gave up. They were like, Reg isn't around. We're not even going to try. We live and die by Reg's investment. But guys, please leave a thumbs up on this video if you would be so kind. Helps people find us in the algorithms and get in those super chats. If you have anything that you want to comment on going into Supercard of Honor, we will keep you posted on what our schedule for next week is going to be. My thinking is we'll probably just do a Supercard show live and recap the go home episode before, but we'll let you know if that is not the case or if it is the case. We will make sure that you are aware. We'll also take this time to remind you to subscribe to FightfulSelect.com. Best $5 in the business. The best five. You get all sorts of good stuff behind there. You get me and Alex Pulowski doing reviews and playing video games and Sean randomly coming on to talk about Road Trip. I don't know why that started, but it did happen. You get all sorts of scoops back there. Contract news. There's going to be more coming up. News on Mustafa Ali. Plenty of stuff on the TNA side, actually. Killer Kelly got some clarification around her contract and plenty, plenty more. Sean's also going to be at Squared Circle Expo getting more information for you guys, also participating there. So stay tuned for that and more on Fightful Select. Also includes Ask Rhapsody. which happens every other week, and I believe happened this week, correct?
It didn't happen today because I'm in preparation again for Philly, but every other week you can catch that. Maybe there'll be something live next week for that too. I'm going to be with Phil for like 5 days straight. Nobody knows. That's why you got to subscribe.
That's what's up. Subscribe to FightfulSelect.com. Ask Grafty every other week, not just wrestling talk, a lot of other hoops talk, hip hop talk, all sorts of fun stuff. So stay tuned with that. A-Shock reminding us in the chat that AJ Francis signed with TNA. That went up on Fightful Select earlier. So if you're interested in the back half of the show of TNA, there's a lot of TNA scoop skis on Fightful Select for you this week, as always. But Reg, this episode was an effing mess. This was awful. It's never an in-ring quality issue. Kyle Fletcher versus Blake Christian ruled. JD Drake and Uno, blast. Fine. Diamante and Kira Hogan, who seem familiar with each other, I'll put it that way, they tore it down. Super fun. Any sort of creative effort and consistency around this product would set it on fire. It was great for a few months. The lack of champions is absolutely hampering this product. Like, over and over and over again, we had one story with Ethan Page that just got completely abandoned, it seems like. I have no idea what the heck is going on there. I do know he's healthy. He's my Excite Wrestling champion. He's wrestling at A1 and all these other places. What the heck is going on with this product? We saw backsliding from things like Top Flight. I don't know what roster they're on. I don't know what division they work in. What is happening? We had so much clarity for a while, and then it just seems to have disappeared. I found today's episode particularly frustrating, not only because it feels like we're backsliding as a product, but we're so close to Supercard, and what? Did you have the same frustrations that I did? Because this drove me nuts today.
Yeah. only reason that I'm excited about Supercard is because of the matches that they announced, but like no story reason at all. It's just like, I'm going to love Mark Briscoe and Eddie Kingston because they're two great wrestlers. Great backstory going into that. Athena and Sheeta is going to be insane. That Stardom match that they announced, I'm frothing at the mouth or how exciting that's going to be. But yes, everything there, that's the only reason. There's like, they haven't told me why I should be excited about this. I'm just excited about it because I really love wrestling. And that's not really something you want to do when you have the resources. We have this show. You could be building to all kinds of things. We could have the champions on display. There could be reasons for people to care and want to watch this show and care about this brand, but they're not really giving them reasons to.
It's wildly frustrating, especially because outside of the women, there just have not been champions around. Kyle Fletcher, I understand there was a visa issue. Even when Eddie Kingston and Mark Briscoe are around, they're not actually on the program for the most part, right? Like, nothing has been built there. The Pure title has just been on Wheeler Yuta, who's been unable to compete for literally months now. The tag team champions, we're going to talk about what they're setting up for that out of nowhere, which I think is not good. Your six-man champions.
All right. Who are they? Name them right now, Kate.
It's Bullet Club Gold, but the hell if I would know that if I was watching ROH. They've literally never been on it. It's right. Just not good, and it makes it stakeless to one of the most sports presentation based brands. Now, the frustrating thing is, if you're just looking for an hour plus of wrestling, this episode ruled. There were so many good matches on it. Mm-hmm. So we do get to talk about those, and I'm looking forward to it. But if this is the episode we're getting a week before a pay-per-view, it just feels like an insult to subscribers' time. I'm glad that they're giving away this pay-per-view within Honor Club, because people would be canceling left and right, I feel like, if that wasn't the case. But we do open with, again, so many like one step forward, one step back. We're doing a lot of dancing on ROH, but Athena in a great match with Nikita. It was a proving ground match. Still waiting for someone to win a proving ground match because nothing is ever proven here. But Athena with a dominant win. Some really nice stuff in this. A beautiful float over suplex that we had. Winning with this nasty submission, like this figure four face lock, whatever this was, unreal. The face lock's looking really, really good in this match as well. And I say it every week about Ian and Caprice, but one thing that I really loved in this was, and Ian has gone out of his way to do this, when he talks about Athena's reign, he puts it in the same breath as Nigel McGuinness, Bryan Danielson, and to me, that means a lot that he, it's not like women's wrestling is its own unicorn thing. She's as successful of a champion as them, so she should be ranked in the same way. And he just does it with this, can't believe this is a phrase I am going to say, an effortless respect. Like, it doesn't feel like it's out of its way at all. It's just the way he delivers his commentary is, she's as good of a wrestler as these guys, and they all belong in the same category. So I just really love that he does that when he talks about her. I also really liked what we saw from Nikita in this match. I kind of wish she proved her ground because I would like to see her again. But a quick spot after the match where Athena, up to her dastardly deeds as always, goes to put Nikita in a tree of woe, and Shida runs her down with a kendo stick. Didn't particularly love that either, because this isn't the go-home, and that just doesn't feel ROH-ish to me. That feels AEW-ish to me. ROH, to me, I still want that more sports feel than this, like, you did something to someone else, so I'm going to run you off thing. Doesn't feel great to me. So, loved what we got in-ring. Didn't love everything around it. I do love Sheeta's look with this, the blonde hair and the suit. Killing it. Beautiful. So, and I'm very excited for the match, but the framework around it, not so much for me. What did you think of our opener here?
I thought it was a really good match. Nikita looked good in their proving ground match. Didn't prove her ground, like you said, really funny. Athena, though, this is kind of, you know, what we should kind of be seeing going into this match with Shida, I think, is like Athena with her facial, she kind of looks like she's not sure of herself. She kind of looks like she doesn't know exactly what she's going to do going into this match with Shida, but still beating somebody up and showing that when it's go time, I can do my thing. Shida coming in to make the save. I think it's all really good work. That's like probably like the most inoffensive thing of the show, I think, of like they're building to this championship match. They're not getting physical going into it. Maybe next week they'll get physical to get us right into the match at the pay-per-view. But yeah, I thought it was just like Athena's here. She's showing something. She's showing, telling some stories, but she'll still beat your ass when it's time to start the show. Nikita, though, looked great. I'd like to see some more of her.
Agreed. I would like to see more of her too. I thought she was excellent in this. Really impressive stuff. I would like someone in a proving ground match to prove their ground. It almost seems like we've gotten so far into it that it feels like if someone proved their ground, they would almost have to be like a surprise upset win for the title or something, because there's been so many instances where people haven't. C. Delgado with a nice chat here saying, got to see two champs at least. Your bangs are great. We did get to see two champions on the show tonight. Kind of sad that that is noteworthy. Jam Beard saying, good evening, sexy shark and Mama Wayne's lover. Man, if she's like at Wally Mania or something, or if she's in Philly,
if you see me, Kate, take me somewhere, lock me in a closet, a room or something, because I know I'll be full of Hennessy and marijuana and things, and just help.
I gotta tell you something, I'm a great wing woman.
See, this is the opposite, Kate.
I know it's bad. It's bad because here's the thing, like, girls trust other girlies. So I know if there is a guy who is a well-intending dude and interested in someone, like, I will help a well-intending dude that's interested in someone. And you can do a lot worse than Righteous Red.
Lock me up. Find a closet and be like, oh, go in there. There's more Hennessy and more weed in there. And then I'll run in there and then you just lock it behind me.
Just go in that direction.
It's the only way.
I am but an enabler when I know there are well-intending people involved. So I don't know. We'll see. We're going to leave it up to the gods of love and see what happens with Mother Wayne. But that was our opening match and a nice little, I think we're doing a better job building to Philly now, you and me. It's like, now you have a story going into Philly.
I got a story. Like, yes.
You got a story and we'll see. We'll see. We're going to build to it next week. We'll find out what happens in Philly. I like it.
Pretty good.
We do later get a backstage with Shida. I don't know if I loved this either. I do love her basically saying that she was like kind of bored with a lack of competition, that she's already gone through Saraya and Toni Storm and all these people. And so she needed something to do. This, like, holy Sheeta has arrived thing feels so not who she is to me. Like, it's a cute t-shirt. I get it. I don't think I need it to be, like, her catchphrase. But everything in this was well delivered. Everything in it made sense. It just doesn't feel like her character to me. But I am very excited for this match. I am sincerely intrigued by it because I feel like Sheeta and ROH would be awesome. Like, I would love to see an extended run from Sheeta. It doesn't feel like they have anything for Athena to get called up into on the main roster, though. And I don't want her just floating around in a women's division that's doing really well right now. So I feel like this could go either way. My guess is Athena retains just because I don't know what. There's nothing obvious for her as far as the next step goes. What did you think of the Sheeta promo, and what do you think we're going to get at SuperCard?
Yeah, the holy Sheeta thing kind of feels like we need Sheeta to have a catchphrase, and it's like, I think she can have a catchphrase, and I like the catchphrase, but I don't know if I like her saying the catchphrase. It feels a little bit, feels weird. I don't know. I didn't like
she's
it
just
that
such
much.
Such a badass. Like, yeah. That's like a Kate-level pun. Like, exactly. You, as a wrestler, you should not be saying things that I would say on the
like,
show.
Sheeta's so cool, such a badass. It's like, you don't have to say that, Sheeta. We know. You're cool. You're badass. You're all this. But I do like her doing the promo. I do like her getting time to express herself and show, yo, I'm here. I've been learning English. I'm Sheeta. You guys all love me. I'm the Sheeta that you know, and I'm going to be here to do it. As far as the outcome, though, Kate, I'm kind of on the same thing that you're on. It's like it could go either way. Like Athena, the most sense says for Athena to kind of stay champion because there's not really many stories that come with Sheeta being like Sheeta being here, I think will be great. And if she's established here, it'll be awesome. But I mean, Sheeta being up there makes more sense because I want to see her with Mercedes. There's still so many things she could do on the main AEW show that doesn't really make a lot of sense. But if she does win the Ring of Honor championship, there's a lot of great women here on this roster that I think she'd have incredibly talented, incredibly awesome matches with. So it wouldn't be the worst idea in the world. I just don't know what the outcome is at all. This is like the most like, which way could it go? I think going into a lot of these Supercard of Honor matches or a lot of these Athena matches, it's been like, maybe this is the time. Like Athena's probably ran her course, but this time I don't really feel like that. So I don't know.
I do feel like I'm in this weird place with Athena's reign because I just don't know where else it can go. And that's not a discredit to her work. It's not a discredit to how they kind of made her the face in the Nyla Rose feud. I thought she did an unbelievable job telling stories that way and like having somebody kind of get to her. But it just feels like how much more dominant can she get before people start to check out on it a little bit. And I think we're kind of getting closer to that tipping point. She's always impressive in the ring. I loved seeing her tonight, but like the inevitability part kicking in is starting to dampen my enjoyment of it a little bit. Mm-hmm. I don't want them to overstay their welcome with this reign because it's been so incredible and historic and done so much for the division and for Athena herself that I don't think she drops to Sheeta, but I think it should be sooner than later. And maybe Billy wins the TV title and that pisses her off and she has to go win that after she's lost or whatever. Like, I think there needs to be some evolution for Athena somewhere. And I think it should be on the main roster. I don't understand why that wouldn't be the case other than it's getting kind of crowded up there.
Right.
But hey, I hated this. Cole Carter and Griff Garrison with Maria Kanellis.
Up next is something nobody cared about.
Because of them, because they haven't done any work around this in a very long time, but they're facing Kaz Jordan and Victor Castella, who were hometown favorites where they were taping and looked good in this. It feels like they just remembered that Maria manages two guys and that her husband is in a tag team that has the titles right now. You wouldn't know it watching the program. But it feels like they just remembered that this is a thing and that they want to heat it up now. Because we haven't seen Cole Carter or Griff Garrison doing anything meaningful. Kind of, I mean, you could make the argument ever. Like, they haven't really strung together wins consistently at all. And definitely not in a very long time. Feels like they just wanted to heat this up for the story. I don't know if this is going to be our tag team defense at SuperCard, but no. Woof. I hope not. feels like it'll probably be like a four corners triple threat, blah blah blah. But man, it was hard for me to have an interest in this because it just feels like out of nowhere they were like, oh, remember these guys? And I was like, yes. And they weren't working and you've made no adjustments with them. Like, it hasn't clicked in. You need to find better creative for them. They're fine in the ring. They're exactly fine in the ring. I don't know. I don't know how they can be expected to get better without reps and creative that suits them better. Like, if you're trying to develop, then you have to do the work to develop them. But this ends with Carter knocking Jordan off the apron with this little double team move, and they get the pin here. Very short match, decent enough match. I wasn't invested in them anyway because it wasn't clicking for me. And now I'm not invested because they were off screen and they've made absolutely no adjustments with them. I don't get it. I know you're a huge Cole Carter fan though, and this was your favorite tag team of all time. So if I feel like that, like if I'm at that level of frustration, you were checked out on them before I was. So I can't imagine, but it's like you brought them back at a, I'm so jarred by tonight's episode. And this was one of the things like, hey, now you're supposed to care about them, but you shouldn't ignore the fact that Ethan Page has been gone for a month after accruing a bunch of wins, calling out a title, calling out the person that has that title, and they just didn't respond. And now it's Lee Johnson. Like, nothing that they laid the groundwork for is paying off here. This frustrated me from the perspective of where the hell did this come from?
Yeah, Kate, it feels like, what do you guys want me to care about? Do you want me to care? You got me to care about some things and then you make those things disappear. And then some things I don't care about at all. You're like, hey, remember this? Do you care about this? I'm like, no, I didn't care about it when it was happening. I like these guys. That's what I do not want to take away from Cole Carter and Griff Garrison. I think they're very talented guys. They just need to be put in different positions because this thing hasn't worked and it never worked. Maria's great. Just put her with the Kingdom. It just, I don't know why she's not over there. That just makes the most sense. So yeah, when this tag match was happening, Kate, I was like, who is this for? Why is this happening? What is this? What's the point of this? If this is leading to a tag match with the Kingdom and Griff Garrison and Cole Carter, brother, do I not want to see that? This Super Card of Honor shaping up to be some kind of thing. And if that match is anywhere on it, it's just not gonna work for what the story that they're telling with Super Card of Honor. That doesn't make any sense. Saw someone in the chat say, you know, they've been featured on the show. So if you have watched Honor Club, you know of Griff Garrison and Cole Carter, but that's still not enough to warrant people caring about them or getting people to care about them challenging for anything in this kind of short amount of time. We're supposed to be building the Super Card of Honor. And if this is a part of it, because it kind of felt like Lee Johnson's thing was like, he's been building for a couple weeks or months at this point, but it was like he made a conscious effort to be like, it's Super Card of Honor. So if it's like, if that's the thing we're supposed to take from today's episode and these two guys are part of it, I don't know. I don't really want it. I wasn't that interested in it. Kind of tuned out for a little bit, and not really a great thing when Ring of Honor is happening. I shouldn't be watching two tag teams that I don't really have that much interest in.
Agreed. And I'm interested in the story. I'm not interested in it being told in a week. Like, if you want to tell that story and you get to it 6 weeks down the line, fine. Like, but definitely not overnight like this. This is not one that you can just snap together. Guys, just a reminder in the chat, we're not calling for anybody's jobs here. That's not what we do.
Oh, no.
So please knock that off immediately. Thank you.
Not about nobody's job.
No. Especially at a developmental brand. People are there to grow and learn. But I think what Reg and I were trying to emphasize is like, yes, they were featured. Then they went away. They weren't repackaged. They made no adjustments. And they're back with an alarming lack of context. So it's not even them so much as what are we doing with them and the creative around them. Something I liked on the program a lot more than a lot of things that we got tonight was this very fun Dalton Castle and Nick Camerato match and the story continuing down the mountain. This is something that has had a tremendous amount of consistency and has been told very well for the most part. It's gone from extremely comedic to comedic sincere. Everybody has played their parts extremely well. Johnny, Taya, Dalton, these rent-a-cop boys, the regular boys, everybody is killing it in this picture, and it makes me very happy. But you got Dalton Castle winning with the Bangarang here, which I thought was very well done. And I thought they did a good job telling the story of Dalton Castle versus the mountain of a man that Nick Camarado is. We've seen multiple personalities from Nick Camarado. I hope that they pick one and develop it and let him get reps with it. He's like super serious, and sometimes he's lollipop guy and whatever. Like, I hope they narrow in on something, because I think there is something special with him. I think he has something in there that is unrepeatable, and he's going to be a force when he finds it. But I liked what we got out of the match. Dalton doing a really good job with the obstacle that Nick Camarado's size was in this. Mm-hmm. But post-match, we get Taya cutting this nasty promo on a just despondent Dalton Castle in this, saying that the boys are rude and that they're annoying and that they're bad, bad boys. And she makes out with Johnny, but she says he never loved them like they're going to, and that the reason that they're so rude and annoying must be because of the example that they've had in Dalton Castle. True. They make out over Dalton after Johnny attacks him. Love Ian pointing out that Dalton does love the boys, and in fact, they were 2-time six-man champions with Dalton Castle, so they have been loved and succeeded and thrived under Dalton's guidance and tutelage. Thought the match was pretty fun here. Like the story continuing, we can only hope and pray that the original, the OG boys, return at Supercard of Honor. This is just a whole mess of fun. What did you think of this?
I like this. They're telling some stories. Anytime they tell stories, kind of opposite of how we came into this show, that this is something being furthered. They have been telling the Dalton and Johnny TV / Taya story for a while. Camarado's tried so many things at this point, Kate. I hope he does eventually fall into something, because I think, yeah, he can represent this role of, like, we've been seeing the Butcher featured on AEW TV the last couple of weeks. And I think that Nick Camarado can represent that same kind of role if he finds exactly what it is that he wants to present. But I think he's a great kind of big man. Worked really well here with Dalton Castle, getting Dalton Castle's finisher over, I think, really, really well. And Dalton looks strong. This is another good story, just kind of telling more of, we're getting to the pay-per-view, need Dalton on TV. I thought the promo with Taya was really strong and kind of brought it home. And she's telling the truth, like, the boys are like this for a reason, and the reason must be you, Dalton Castle. So you're the one that's going to pay for it, and the boys are going to stay with us forever. Really fun little story, a way to add some stakes to this feud, just having the boys be the prize. I think it's really fun and kind of funny. And of course, these two would be feuding over that.
Agreed. We're getting a lot of super chats in that I'm going to go through. I just wanted to thank you guys for the support, because we're getting some love tonight, including this from Patrick Moore, who asks if Dalton's highway shorts look better on Kate or Reg.
This is a good question.
It's a very good question. And quite frankly, you'll never know the answer, because you guys only really see us from like here up. You know what I mean?
We both could be wearing those shorts right now.
We might be. We might be in solidarity with Dalton right now wearing those shorts. But, you know what? Maybe Reg and I will settle that in Philly, and we'll tell you, but we won't show you. You know what I mean?
I'm going to check the weather, though. I'm going to check the weather.
Drew, you're coming in from Cali. It's not highway shorts weather for you.
I know.
Dan Beard saying, just do the match of the boys versus OGK at the pay-per-view so Maria can turn on them and join the United Kingdom. It's not a match people want, but it's a means to an end. Or give us a match people want. There's an idea. Like, I don't think you can do that, because I don't think Cole Carter and Griff Garrison, unfortunately, have the footing on their own without Maria either. Like, for someone to lose a manager, they need to be extremely well established, I feel like. And I don't think they're at that point yet, and I don't think it's their fault. But it does feel like they need to unlock something with them that they haven't. And I don't want pay-per-views to be a spot for anything that's a means to an end. Like, it shouldn't be. I find that very frustrating. Do you want to see a story and a payoff with that? Are you kind of like, just put Maria with her and let them go, like do something else?
I mean, I do want to see something happen, because remember Maria did the random thing where she made their theme and then we just kind of forgot about all that. It's like, well, let's kind of maybe pay off this story. I don't know if a one-on or two-on-two tag match for the championships is a way. Maybe we do a multi-team tag match. Their Ring of Honor is known for doing things like that. That could be a good way to get a couple teams on this card, and it won't have to do that. And we can still try to play that story off, pay that story off during the match. I think there's ways to do it. I don't know if I'm all in, but I could be convinced.
I agree. I think a multi-man match is a good idea. I do get very frustrated when we think about like our previous tag team programs being like FTR and the Briscoes and one of the greatest trilogies of all times. And we're at this.
Yeah.
We know what can happen. We know where we're at. You got to give us better. You just got to give us better. A fun suggestion here from C. Delgado saying, boys should return with the Iron Savages, because we saw the sauce spot before. I think it would have been hilarious if the Iron Savages came out as boys. Like if they had like the all the feathers on. But I'm in on that. I'm in on that. Jam Beard picking the wrong side, saying that Taya has the best interest of the boys when Dalton doesn't. Got to teach him to be better and nicer. Teach him to be Canadian is a very funny thing. Look, I'm sure if they weren't lost, they would be enjoying their free health care. However, I don't think Taya, who Johnny loves, is exhibiting great maternal behavior, much like the cruel and mean Mother Wayne, who Reg is going to fall in love with. But Travis Lindsay saying United Kingdom versus Best Friends at Supercard for the belt, right? No! Give it to an ROH tag team, not a tag team that isn't a tournament for other belts like our tag champs are!
Yeah, no, can't do it. Can't take it. I don't want it.
I just thought I would go full losing my mind right there. But one thing that is very frustrating to me was it felt like we had roster clarity and now we don't. I am very annoyed that there are tag teams that are in a tournament for one set of belts that also just had a trios match tonight. Pick a lane. It's driving me up a wall. But Jam Beard saying, Maria leaves Carter and Griff. Dalton takes them as his new boys. Would his former boys help Johnny and Taya after being taught better? No.
It's a lot of boys.
Let's make one thing extremely clear.
Yeah.
The original boys and Dalton Castle have an unbreakable bond. And if Taya Valkyrie thinks she can just come in here looking all great, talking all of her S, with all of her poise and her presence and her confidence and her snarky little attitude and her Mickey outy spots with Johnny, she thinks that is enough to keep the boys away from Dalton Castle? I don't think so.
Mm-mm.
I'm an odd one tonight. I am overcompensating for how boring this episode was with a lot of energy.
It's needed.
I'm going to very gingerly address this, but Reg is the Christian of Fightful after, I think, talking about Mother Wayne saying, question though, since I missed the whole thing, what was the whole yarn stuff about? There was a gal who bought yarn dolls from another gal and sold them as her own. That opened up a whole can of worms, and the amount of worms that crawled out of that seemed to be infinite and unending, and I'm going to not talk about it any more than I just did, because other than the phrase Chronicles of Yarnia coming out of this, which poshed me tremendously, there's nothing good to say about it, but there is a lot of nothing going on. A lot of nothing going on. Some serious things that did happen already. I don't know. I don't agree with bullying a bully under most circumstances. I don't think that's how things get solved. But not great. Not great patterns of behavior from a specific person on the internet, but ain't that wrestling? Ain't that the wrestling world?
I'm so happy that I accidentally don't be getting on the internet that much anymore. And then when I get on there, I'm like, oh, it's a fire. Let me go somewhere.
It is a dumpster fire. But Jim Beard saying, Kate, I'm always on Team Taya. Not only am I Canadian, but I live in Victoria, where she's from. Well, you can be on her team, but Jam Beard, I am now suspect of you. Because if that is the type of behavior and people that you associate yourself with, I will continue to take your money, which is very generous for chats, but I am suspicious. I am suspicious.
Shout out to my Canadian homies. I do a podcast with a Canadian friend. Shout out to Mike. I'm in. I'm in, Jam Beard. I'm with it.
You can't go siding with Taya. Come on now.
Canada, Bret Hart.
Who am I? Canada, Bret Hart, he says. It's easy as that, how am I supposed to counter that? You win. Huge W for you. Damn it. How do I counter Bret Hart? Because I'm not even the Shawn over Bret gal. I can't even. Nope. You, that's Queen of the Ring nonsense with all the the Shawn love. I'm a Bret gal hers. Myself. Goldberg socks. Anyway, Mark Briscoe.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Save big on your Memorial Day barbecue, all in the Kroger app. Get half gallons of delicious Kroger milk for $1.29 each. Then get flavorful Tyson Natural Boneless Chicken Breasts for $2.49 a pound, all with your card and a digital coupon. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
In with a very heartfelt promo. He has become such an unbelievable singles wrestler as a juxtaposed underdog babyface. And what I mean by that is his moveset and his aggression and his character don't feel like they should have this natural underdog babyface appeal, but boy does he. Like, he will just pull at your heartstrings. Promo over promo over promo. This was not much different. And then when you see it in the ring, you're like, how the hell is, like, am I rooting for this guy in this way? Like, it feels very much in the vein of like a Sami Zayn. And you wouldn't think that looking at the way that he goes about his business. But he talks about the loss of his brother, talks about Eddie Kingston's loss of the AEW Continental Classic, and not equating those two, but talking about the pain of the absences in your life, I thought was nice here. But Briscoe saying he knows that Kingston has also had his ups and downs over the years, just like the Briscoes did. But that when Kingston said he was going to find the old Eddie Kingston for this match, at Supercard of Honor, Briscoe's going to show Eddie Kingston that he's the man. 11 years to the day after his brother won his first ROH title, which is a very special and cool happenstance. I think it's a real possibility that Mark Briscoe wins. It would give Mark home to work in consistently instead of just kind of it floating in and out of these spots on the main roster. It would give Eddie a good development for his story as well, losing the Continental title, losing this ROH title, eventually that New Japan Strong title. I think we're headed for like the downfall of Eddie Kingston and all of this, but really just one of the most sincere speakers that you can get on a microphone these days. Absolutely love it. What do you think of this promo from Mark?
Yeah, really, really good promo. Okay. You bring up some great points because Mark Briscoe has always had this underdog fight from behind thing just attached to him. Even before, like, the thing with his brother, like, throughout history, he's just kind of represented that, like you said, with his moveset. Bringing up Sami Zayn is such a great example, too, because they have kind of that same fighting spirit of, like, you just have no choice but to get behind them. When they're heels, there's still some little intangible thing about them that you're like, I just love this guy. And Mark Briscoe's that. The thing happened with Jay, and it, like, just went up tenfold. Like, he's had that thing before. Now he has that thing times 100 because there's just you know, things sitting on his back of his brother who was there throughout his whole career, who is still in his corner for every match, but in a different way. And it's just like the way that he can elicit emotions with these promos and just talking about his history and wrapping Eddie Kingston in it too. It's just like, wow, this is how you get over a match without interaction at all between the two of these guys. It's just been promos talking, and we're never even seen any face-to-face. Hopefully we get one of those before the pay-per-view, but these promos have made me even more excited about the match. And I think if we do eventually get what they seem to be leading us to, of Mark Briscoe being a Ring of Honor world champion, that is very, 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 there's so many emotions that are attached to that. We thought it was going to happen before. I'm happy that it's going to happen now. I think what it represents, what he'd been through, he was in, you know, he's been in ROH since the beginning. It's going to be in Philadelphia 11 years to the day that Jay won the belt. This, like, everything is just makes so much sense. I'm excited to be there live in attendance. Great promo.
Agreed. I'm glad that you brought up the timeline of that. We thought he was going to win before, and now he's winning. Because, like, if he won and got injured, that would just be, like, the biggest bummer in the world. So I'm glad it's on this side of the injury that we're getting it. Glad we're getting a payoff to what was laid out for us months ago. But I hope that he wins, because we've had some... I feel like the ROH pay-per-views have always been really strong in the new era,
yeah.
But some of them have not been very feel good. And this time last year, it was not very feel good. Like, we got a lot of just of heels winning. And we also had the nasty injury to Dante happened right around this time. Right. I think so.
Yeah, that was that super card last year.
Yeah, I thought so. Mm-hmm. So I think they have an opportunity to just send people home happy, and I hope they do. And Shane Monster saying that he is happy because maybe I'm on a Stardom hype cloud, but I didn't hate it tonight. And guys, Micah and Athena will be in the same building Friday, TK Planet. Now, I don't know a ton about Stardom. I do know that we got this match between Mina, Micah, and May versus Saya, Tom Nakano, and AZM. And I will say the thing that I immediately noticed, we talked about it last week, but now we're seeing it get amplified, is an unbelievable expediting of the Stardom working relationship now that Rossi is not running Stardom. So it certainly feels like as soon as that change was made, whatever hesitations there were about working together, I'm not here to like pick sides, but once the managerial relationship changed, that door opened, and it opened very quickly, which is encouraging to see, because the more interpromotional work that's happening, the better, in my opinion. So I'm not a close watcher of Stardom. I am familiar with a lot of these names, and I am very excited about it. I'm excited to learn. I'm excited to learn more about Stardom through these interpromotional relationships. Can't wait for this match. I loved what we got last week with Anna Jay. I am one of those people that is rooting to open up a door to excursions back to the New Japan and Stardom umbrella. I think that would be something that's just a really great use for a very big roster. But yeah, I mean, any thoughts on that, Reg, about how quickly it seems like we now have AEW and ROH working with Stardom, and any thoughts on this match in particular?
Yeah, it's just exciting stuff all the way. One of my favorite, this whole thing is kind of full circle moment, because one of my favorite Ring of Honor matches ever is a Dragon Gate six-man. It happened 2006. It was a Super Card of Honor match, WrestleMania weekend, and it's one of the wildest matches you've ever seen. That's what I got just seeing the announcement for this match. I'm like, oh, it's going to be those same type of vibes. I'm not the most well-versed on Stardom. My co-host, Philip Lindsay, keeps up. He informs me on things. And just knowing and hearing some of these names and being familiar with them, I know that this match at this time on this show is going to blow minds. It's one of those people aren't going to be familiar, but when it's over, everyone's going to be familiar. I'm excited just because I think that with Mercedes coming in and the way that Stardom and New Japan were like, yo, if Mercedes is in, we're all in, and them immediately getting to it, I think it's just a good sign. The women's wrestlers in both promotions are going to benefit so much from flip-flopping to each promotion. So this is just great for women's wrestling, and we're going to see some amazing wrestling.
I'm very excited about that too. And you're right, Mercedes has time and time again been reiterating this global revolution aspect of her early kind of mission statement here in AEW. When she had that match with Willow where she got injured, that same tournament, she had an incredible match with Stephanie Vaquer, who I've really grown to love everything I've seen from. So I'm glad that she gets to maintain that. And I'm glad for all of the other women who are going to also be benefiting from that, because I think it's just great when promotions work together, and in particular promotions in different parts of the world. Because if you ever hear wrestlers talk about, I think Joey Janela actually had talked about this pretty extensively, like, man, when you go to work in Japan, it's just, it's a different sense of humor. It's a different timing. Like, everything's different, and how important it is to be expansive in where you work in the world, because you just learn how to be a better storyteller to different audiences and environments. So the more of that, the merrier. Patrick Moore saying, and I agree, the production quality of this promo was great.
Yeah.
Something extra kicked in around the C2 when they started doing all those backstage promos. And they've kind of kept that style on the main roster. It's leaked into ROH a little bit too, but the production has felt more distinct in ROH in general, I think, than it did a couple months ago. Like, we're starting to see promos like this made it feel like it has its own identity a little bit, if that makes sense. Do you agree with that?
Yeah, definitely. There was a couple of promos like that on the show tonight that it was like, yeah, it gives it a little different feel, makes it feel more like ROH, where it's not just matches, 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 backstage promos, more matches. It gives it a little something different, adds a little bit more personality to the wrestlers too.
Agreed. I think it is really refreshing and great to see, but I'm not going to let that detract from the fact that I still did not like most of this episode. Okay. It was really, really good production, but I'm still mad at you, Ring of Honor. You're still grounded, Jim Beard saying. Makes a mental note of making Kate sing Spice Girls next Tuesday. I've sang way weirder songs than anything you could throw at me from Spice Girls. Girl power all the way. Right as we're coming out of that compliment about production into the most unnecessary thing and superfluous thing on the show, Colt Cabana and Brandon Cutler versus Rex Lawless and Bryce Donovan. Fun comedy tag team. No idea why this is here. It's a week before a pay-per-view. These guys are not competitive in ROH. These guys are rarely seen on ROH. They win with a big double slam. This is completely pointless. And I don't want to sound insulting to the wrestlers, because it's not like there was anything bad about the match and it was fun enough, but it's pretty forgettable in the grand scheme of things when you consider that you're a week out from pay-per-view. Like, I don't know if this is just because we're taping across different episodes and pulling from different episodes or whatever, but it kind of feels like they're like, well, we don't want to be under an hour, so put that in or whatever. I really don't have a ton to say about this match other than it was fun. It was good. It was there. I don't know why. It doesn't feel like we have a tag team division because we don't have tag team champions around, and it's a week before pay-per-view. Any thoughts?
Listen, Cole Carter and Griff Garrison, I apologize for all the comments that I had earlier.
I did this not know your game.
Was the most worthless thing I think I've ever seen in the history of Ring of Honor. Why? When this match happened, I was like, okay, they're playing in our faces at this point. What are you guys doing? Why am I watching this? Listen, Colt Cabana, Brandon Cutler, big fans. I like you guys. I like all your work and everything. But this is worthless. Even if we weren't a week out from a show, this would be worthless. If there was like, we're just have a throwaway episode, this still would be worthless. What is going on here, dude? I don't want to see this at all. Give me one reason why we should care about this. They're with the Young Bucks. I love the Young Bucks. Greatest tag team of all time. There's a reason we're all watching this shit. But this was stupid. I have nothing further to say, Kate. I'm sorry.
You don't have to apologize. Jesus. That is.
Oh my God. What am I watching right now?
I don't even mean that. Like, why are we even, like, genuinely why? Somebody tell me why I should be invested in this match at all. Other than the fact that I think Colt Cabana and Brandon Cutler are a perfectly serviceable tag team and they're fun. Okay. This is Ring of Honor and we're a week out from pay-per-view. Hey, something else I don't understand. Action Andretti and Top Flight defeating KPK here. Where are the six-man belts? What are we doing? Match was fine. Top flight is always impressive. Action and ready. Great split leg and moonsault. Love it. Are you a trio? Are you a tag team? Are you an ROH? Are you an AEW? What the are we doing? We had clarity. That clarity is gone. I feel like Action Andretti is not the most for me wrestler in the world. He's young. He has a lot of potential. There's definitely something there that should be cultivated. Being in a trio sometimes is not a way to grow young talent. I don't get it. It's maddening, especially when Top Flight are in a tag team tournament on the main roster. Man, really fun match. Like, I liked what I saw, and KPK was very fun as a trio as well. Like, the if you just like a great hour and 20 minutes of wrestling, you got it here. But it's a week before pay-per-view, and this is not, I'm going to say it, you got in trouble for it on the internet. This is not AEW Dark. I don't understand how
Black the promotion my
has a baby.
Walk me out.
I got it.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Okay. You can repeat it now. Uh-oh.
The ghosts know that I'm going to get blown up by the internet. Gonna fix the white girl light situation.
Hold on, let me stop laughing so my voice isn't attached either.
Yeah, please. No, you can mute your mic, giggle off screen.
Okay.
The ghosts know. Okay. There is a pay-per-view a week from now. And this is an episode of AEW Dark. I said it. Come at me, internet. Y'all get mad that I'm like, I would like more than a half hour of wrestling on SmackDown. How about this? How about this?
Insane. If you follow Kate's Twitter and she said, come at me, this is insane. Like, as much as Kate is on Twitter fighting with trolls, she said, come at me. This is insane.
I'll do fight 'em ups. At least I'd have a story. Week before pay-per-view.
Some points are being made.
Points are being made. Mm-hmm. Your thoughts on this match, Reg?
Spot Foo, look, is if we're going to go all the way out, if we're going to be like, all right, look, we don't care about what's going on here, at least give me some Spot Foo. Put Top Flight in there, three of the homies, let them flip. That's all it's like. All right, look, we don't got too many stories to tell. Can we get some guys to flip? That's an easy way to entertain Reg, and I was all in. I could see Top Flight getting a Trios Championship match at this show, Supercard of Honor, against, put a gun to my head, it's going to be hard to name who the champions are. Just kidding, Bullet Club Gold. I could see them getting a match at the show, especially kind of with this match that they showed tonight. It'll be interesting. They could be a good Trios Tag Team Champions if you let them. So it could end up not being the worst. I don't know if that's what we're leading, but that's what I kind of feel like. Because you got to get those championships on this show, and I think having that representation will be cool. So wasn't the worst, you know, if we're gonna have some filler matches, having some Spot Foo, having some flips is a good way to do it.
It's true. Zero Prime wants to know why I hate AEW Dark. I love AEW Dark. AEW Dark without champions, or AEW Dark having champions but not having champions around and having a pay-per-view doesn't work. Okay. What is the consensus of what all ROH fans want? They're champions around and stories built toward those championships. Basic wrestling fundamentals, but Jambeard. I mean, the most basic thing in wrestling is that you have a champion on the show. Kate yelling about ROH reminds me of the WWE IWC trolls talking about story of AEW. Well, I would like to think that the difference is there's a lot of fans that are a fan of the WWE style of things and the product and don't connect to the AEW mode of storytelling that stories can unfold through in-ring action. Yeah. That's what I learned, is that a lot of fans of the WWE product view it as story happens in promos and then they fight about it, as opposed to there's demonstration of storytelling in the ring, which is actually my favorite part but where's the story? And see, where's the champions is what I want to know in ROH world. Guys, thank you so much for your support tonight. You guys have been showing out for us in the chat. We appreciate this. The show is not the most popular wrestling products in the whole wide world, so we really do appreciate it because we have four hosts, and that can get a little expensive when you got to pay four people, and it's a paywalled service show, so very much appreciate all of the support we're getting. Feel free to get in those chats. A reminder that the TNA post show is coming off of the back of our post show as well. But we also want to take a moment to thank one of our sponsors who supported the Fightful Awards, and that is Matthew Hooks of Hooked In Voiceover. Let me see if I can pull up his background. Do we have it? I might have to switch over to Sour Graps World, but Matthew Hooks is a huge supporter of this show. He was a supporter of the Fightful Awards. He sponsors us every Tuesday, and he was a very talented voiceover artist. He has been the voice of international and national world-class brands, and he's fantastic. You can check out his reel on his website. You can check him out on social media. I'll get those handles for you once I pull this little background up, but he does a lot more than just the actual recording process, too. He does a lot of the editing work and can do just about anything you need in the voiceover realm, which is pretty cool. And he's always so great to us. We ask that you be so great to him back. We very much appreciate him sponsoring our very weird little world every Tuesday night. But you can go to hookedinvoiceovers.com. Email him at hookedinvoiceover@gmail.com and hookedinvoice on Twitter or X or whatever you want to call it. Great supporter of us. We ask that you support him and definitely check out his work if it's something you need, because we do take pride in the sponsors that we have on the show. And if he was bad at it, we wouldn't have taken his money to let him promote with us. So rest assured, high quality stuff from Matthew Hooks, and I doubt the level of sponsors or clients rather that he gets would trust them with their brands if he was bad at this. He's actually quite great at this. So please support him if you would be so kind. We'll also remind you to leave a thumbs up on this video. There's a lot more of you watching now than were at the beginning of the show. So we appreciate you guys tuning in, helping people find us by leaving a thumbs up is very, very helpful. And we'll remind you to subscribe to FightfulSelect.com as well. Tons of scoop skis, especially on the TNA side this week of all brands. A lot going on in TNA world, man. And as Scrap Steel be returning, stay tuned to Fightful Select. Gonna get a lot of us next week. So big week in Philly next week. The other thing that Kate yelling about ROH reminds me of was when Billie Kay of the Iconics would do her arm swings. Fist fighting in the air spot. Yep. I do admittedly have a lot of mosh pit experience. Not usually going in it, mostly being scared on the outside of a mosh pit, but I do love metal, and I really loved metal in college. So very experienced in the Billy Kay air punch milieu, if you will. But let's get back to some ROH. You guys have been awesome with the support today. Thank you so much. We move on to Kira Hogan defeating Diamante. What I thought was a way more fun match than it had any right to be. If you love, this match was not for you, because these two were going at it. They were fighting, but we know that they are very close in real life. Believe it or not. But Kira Hogan getting Diamante on her shoulders, but Diamante with the rake of the eyes in this nasty side of Diamante that I like to see. But Hogan fighting back and hitting a beautiful snap suplex on Diamante to end this. Love is dead. But this match was not. This match was very, very, very fun. A fun, we talk about collision of ring styles a lot and the clash there and how it makes really great matches. Such different personalities with the two of them, but both of their personalities are very big in how they show up. So it was very fun to see, like, all the fire that Kira Hogan comes out with, all the, like, just kind of the, like, she was a baddie, right? She has that bitch energy. I love it. And Diamante just being this absolute violent badass. like, I love Clash of Styles, but seeing the two personalities come out so vividly in this, I actually thought was super, super fun. This was just a great women's match, and I liked that it kind of came out of the tournament story as well. I like when tournaments bear fruit to other matches like this. So I love this. This was one of the things on the show that I really liked. What did you think of this?
Yeah, this was super fun. I love that story that they told coming out of the tournament. I love that last week Kira was like, I'm going to see you. And then this week she saw her and she showed her exactly what she said in the promo. That's about as simple as execution as you could get. Next week, we're going to have a fight and then I'm going to beat you up in the fight. And then we're going to go home together and have a good relationship. Great stuff. Great work. Everybody did great here. No, I love these two women just having a really good match. Diamante is fantastic in this role of like, I will rip anyone's head off. Like, about all, everything about me is winning this match and being the best in the world. That's the story that I want to continue to tell. But Kira's like, I'm establishing myself. I think coming out of this, whoever wins this TV, women's TV title, coming out of this, you got a built-in contender right there. And I think that's going to lead to some great matches and some great work. Both of these women, I think, are going to be contenders coming out of this. I love them just establishing themselves for the future. It's like they're telling this story with each other, but that story is leading to more for both of them.
Reg is Booker of the Year, as far as I'm concerned.
Honestly.
He was like, I think it's good when people give promos, say they want to fight, and then they do so. Because we're going to talk about our main event very shortly. Mm-hmm. And how there was a guy who was calling for a specific title, getting wins to support the idea he should be going after that specific title, and then just hasn't been on the show.
Damn.
I don't get it. I don't get why this company can't figure out what to do with Ethan Page. But before we get there, a very fun match. A very fun match between Evil Uno and JD Drake. This was a blast. This might have been... Kyle Fletcher and Blake Christian had some fun work in there. Yeah. But like, this was match of the night until I saw that. That's for sure. I had a blast with Uno and Drake. Drake hitting Uno with a huge cannonball, but missing a splash from the top rope, and Uno gets an opening and takes it for a pin. Two big boys with a ton of speed and strength going at it. I loved everything that we got out of this. Kind of a sleeper. Like, I looked at the rundown and was like, oh, that'll be cool and fun. But that's kind of the story of JD Drake with a lot of people, I think, as they're like, oh, he's great with everyone. That'll be fun. And then you see him in there and you're like, well, damn, this guy rules. So at least that's my reaction. I loved this. Nice to see Uno in action. Would love to see the Dark Order and members of the Dark Order getting some work in. Stu Grayson. There was Pure Division, maybe, ever again. But good stuff tonight. You guys know how I feel about JD Drake. I absolutely adore him. Nice to see Uno in there. He's another one that sometimes his personality is so big and great and fun that you forget, like, oh, when this guy gets down to business, though, he goes, right? So I loved this. You had your spot food. This was like a Kate match for sure. Did you have as much fun watching this as I did, though?
I sure did. These two guys are very similar in the way that they work. So this was like, oh, this makes a lot of sense putting them in the ring together. They got in there and did exactly what I thought they would do. They slugged it out. JD Drake did exactly what he always does. Evo Uno's really underrated in these type of matches and this type of position of playing veteran, but also against a veteran who kind of knows all the tricks that you know, but still like pulling out tricks that we've never seen before. He always has kind of something to prove. And I think with the way that he kind of runs out of being a wrestler and like the way that he books mystery wrestling and these other things, it aids in what he presents on screen. And I thought it shined pretty bright here. JD Drake, I think, needs to continue to get more of an opportunity while Anthony Henry is out with his injury. I think putting him in positions like this, having him in this kind of mode of he could be a spoiler for somebody getting into a feud or things like that, I think is a good place for him to represent. This match was really fun. If you the second half of this show had some really strong matches, and this was one of them.
Agreed. I really liked kind of this whole stretch of Kira Hogan and Diamante into this entire main event. Super, super fun. Shout out to Mystery Wrestling too. A very fun ecosystem that's been created at Mystery Wrestling. I think the M&M boys got their first wins as the models, which was very fun. I'm a big Mason and Mansoor gal, as a lot of people know. Ethan Page doing work in that as well. I think Sonny Kiss showed up there too, maybe. Mm-hmm. I'm getting everything right in my head. So shout out to Mystery Wrestling. If you're not watching Mystery Wrestling, please do
watch it.
Some really just if you want to sit down and enjoy something, Mystery Wrestling's got you covered. But me, Normus, chiming in with some support, saying, "What's up, partners?
Yes.
Here's a small sack of monies for snacks or whatever Kate eats." I eat snacks. I just don't eat meat. But meat forever, says me, Normus. Thank you so much for always being so kind to us. We do very much appreciate it. Jam Beard calling for Kira Diamante 3, a tiebreaker match, should be the do the chores for a month on a pole match.
Look, do the dishes on a pole, I'll be fighting harder than ever to not
I know
that.
Exactly. If it was like you have to fold the laundry, you could have your title belts.
Keep them. Nah. So it's
way more useful to me if you're like having to scrub toilets or whatever. But that does bring us to our main event match. And my God, is that an ROH champion I see in the yonder? My goodness. Kyle Fletcher with his 8th bad hairstyle of the year is back. Yeah. Always looks like a variation of someone on Home Improvement so far, I feel like. We had like the Jonathan Taylor Thomas hair. This kind of feels like his Brad era of Home Improvement, yeah. Which might be the whitest thing I've ever said on the show, but... my God, if we don't get Kyle Fletcher, who's fantastic, and Blake Christian, who's unbelievable in this. So much fun. Earlier in the evening, we had Lexi Nair with Lee Johnson backstage saying that he's not here to take part and participate, but he's here to take over, and he's here to take titles. Kind of sounds like someone else who was talking about this about 6 weeks ago, 8 weeks ago. Mentions the TV title match, saying no matter who wins tonight at Supercard of Honor, he's next shot at the World TV title. Doesn't matter who the champion is. Lovely Johnson. Talk about it week over week, Reg. One of the most improved wrestlers in the past year. Crisp offense, super explosive. Fundamentals done extremely well, as some of the sharpest wrestling you can have, and he is on that path. He was getting all these wins. Felt like he was building towards something. Where the hell did the Ethan Page story go? How have you not figured out what to do with Ethan Page on AEW or ROH television? This makes absolutely no sense to me, and I'm so beyond frustrated because there was nobody around taking any pride in this product until Ethan Page came in here, felt like the guy that they were actually going to hand stuff off to, sounded great, and like a press conference after the last pay-per-view talked about wanting to be the pride of this show, how much it meant to be the guy, regardless of where you get put, like how it's important to be aiming for that as your goal, was getting wins, turned face for this new character, talking about bringing gold back to his family, getting wins to build toward it, calling Kyle Fletcher out when Kyle Fletcher is stuck in Australia with visa issues, does this great promo about how Kyle Fletcher is actually ducking him. Kyle Fletcher doesn't show up for a couple weeks and kind of felt like he was ducking Ethan Page, and then Ethan Page is nowhere to be found. Just discarded this entire thing. What the F? It's not just that he's like one of my favorite dudes. You built to this match with a different guy, and now you've just taken this guy and 2 weeks beforehand decided you're going to copy and paste almost the exact same story with way less wins behind it geared toward this story. Mm-hmm. Picking up wins, certainly. What the hell are we doing? I don't get it. And all the credit in the world to Lee Johnson. He's looked phenomenal. Like he's really grown. He's looking so good in the ring. He looks good at every win he gets. I just don't understand what the hell we're doing with this.
Yeah, put my guy Ethan, put my guy Ethan Page on the back of a milk carton because I have not seen him. Seems like maybe they're watching this because as soon as I praised him, they're like, all right, take him off of the show. He's done. It's over. I'm like, yo, what happened? No, he really was building towards this match, And when they announced Lee Johnson, I was confused. I tweeted about it. I thought this was Ethan Page's whole thing. So it was kind of confusing to me. Regardless of that, beyond that, we still got time. Maybe Ethan Page will get in there, triple threat match. I don't know. The match was awesome, though. Kyle Fletcher and Blake Christian tore it down. I think Blake Christian has had a bunch of really great showings. It's crazy that he's still the GCW World Champion. Anytime he has a match here, I'm like, he's the GCW World Champ. They don't ever mention it. They don't ever say anything. But I thought this is a really fun showing. They had a lot of really dope counters. Blake Christian did some really interesting combination moves and flips and spins, and he's a really talented guy. But Kyle Fletcher in his Brad era, shout out to that, I think was the best thing. Is like, it sucks that Ethan Page isn't there, but Kyle Fletcher is still so incredible. When the bell rings, you just kind of forget about it. I'm like, well, just put him on TV, and long as he's working, I don't really care what kind of shit you do with him. But this was a kind of like, oh, that's unfortunate for Ethan Page, just because he built the match. He was calling him out by name. He was the only one that's like, if you're not going to put me in stories, I'm going to tell my own story. So it was like, unfortunate that he doesn't get that payoff. But, you know, it's still, you know, it's not the end of the world. It's not the last Ring of Honor show ever. It's not the last thing. Ethan Page could still be in here. But I thought Kyle Fletcher killed it. That pile driver finish is insane. Like, he's just such a talented guy. In 10 years, he'll be even more talented. We're in a good era right now with him.
He is. He just feels like kind of coming up under that learning tree from Will Ospreay and spoken about Kenny Omega's influence on him. He's just fantastic. He improves every rep, and he's already damn good. So this did end with Kyle Fletcher hitting on a hell of a kick in the corner, dropping Christian with a brain buster. Christian fighting back so like quickly and beautifully with this and going for a pin of his own. But that pile driver, like you said, getting the pin in this match, really fantastic match. A really nice, Blake Christian is so fast and so athletic and flippy that you can get distracted by how great that is. But to me, like, the beauty of it is it's so often so logically woven. And I feel like one of Kyle Fletcher's biggest strengths is how efficient he is in the way that he moves in the ring. Like, there's very little that is for show or flash with Kyle Fletcher. And I think that kind of pulled Blake Christian into this really wonderful realm of being able to showcase what he's able to do, but it all still looking like he's trying to win a match, which is something that I am always looking for. No, Ethan Page is not injured, people in the chat. And I haven't heard about anything backstage with him. I have no idea what the hell this is. But he's great. This makes no sense. It's wildly frustrating. A lot of this episode was wildly frustrating. We're a week away from pay-per-view, and this episode kind of sucks. Great matches. Great workers. Not a lot to say about the creative that does not support any of it, but
bring in some other great workers.
We're going to bring in some other great workers who are extremely creative. I'll put it that way. We've got
all I do is Cresta. Work.
All she does is work. True. All she does work. Is work. She works hard for the mic. Look at you. You look beautiful.
I had a muggle job interview today, so I've been all lubed up and ready to go since earlier today.
Whoa!
So.
Lubed up and ready to go.
You're welcome. You'll I be saying it. That in your nightmares. How's everyone doing on this beautiful Thursday evening?
Phenomenal.
We are doing.
I mean, the show wasn't that great, but you know, it wasn't that great.
Show was bad. Show was like actually downright bad. The in ring was fantastic, but the show was.
Kate's trying to get canceled tonight. I'm not trying to say all that. I thought it was okay.
Look, it was a really boring show, and so I spent a lot of time overcompensating with energy on this post show.
I'm going to tell you all the secrets.
WrestleMania's next week. You know, something to be excited about there.
I'm very excited about that.
Right on top of that.
I'm sorry. Mm-hmm. I didn't hear you, Joel. I'm the worst. The
oh,
worst
I know, because you just had to jump right on top of what
stepped
I was
right doing. On Joel's little thing. Yeah. Right
nobody wants to hear Joel.
All I was trying to say was I already saw it last. I already saw the show you talked about last.
Oh, good for you. Yeah,
that's right. Talk about the Evil Uno spot, though. Talk about Uno hitting that Hurricane Rana on JD Drake. Come on.
It was great. That match was wonderful.
Mm-hmm. Fun live.
The matches were great. There's no creative supporting anything right now. How was TNA? Was it better? Was it better than ROH?
There was a lot of like random introductions, like randomly Matt Cardona was there, like
New tapings, new guest stars.
I'm not
Philly,
mad.
The Philly tapings?
Yeah, this is Philly this part okay. one. Philly part one of okay. four.
Nice. Hmm. Okay. Very cool.
Yeah. So the Very big news cool. is Steph DeLander is here, and she's going to face Jordan Grace for the Knockouts Championship at Rebellion.
Oh, nice.
How That's cool awesome.
That? Yeah.
Also, on Fightful Select reported that AJ Francis is signed to TNA. So some exciting lockdown for you guys over in TNA world.
Good well, fun. Lockdown's a different show, but yeah.
I mean, good for him. Not Kate just leaving. She said, I've had it. You know, I've had it with this crew. You guys.
Lockdown.
She doesn't have to be up at 8 o'clock tomorrow morning. Okay.
That's true. TNA's lockdown too. Thanks for having me. People that are also here. Oh, you don't
know my life. You don't know my life. I might have to be up at 8.
You don't, but I'm also up at 7, not 8. I have to be out of house by 8. So here we are.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Save big on your Memorial Day barbecue, all in the Kroger app. Get half gallons of delicious Kroger milk for $1.29 each. Then get flavorful Tyson Natural Boneless Chicken Breasts for $2.49 a pound, all with your card and a digital coupon. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.